Welcome to the presentation of the first quarter 2016 for Marine Harvest. Here to present is myself, Alf Helge Aarskog. I'm the CEO of the company. I will try to keep you updated on what page I am on at any time. So I go past the forward-looking statement and on to highlights on page three. The first quarter for Marine Harvest 2016 was a good quarter. We had a strong operational EBIT at €112 million. This on the back of good demand for our products and also low supply in the quarter. And the result is mainly driven by high prices and record high prices in Europe and Asia for salmon, and but also improving prices for salmon in the Americas, both in the U.S. and in Brazil and in other American countries. The contract share in this quarter was for Norwegian salmon, 55%. That is high and on the high end of what we should have. This has put a slight reduction into our result, but I will come back and more explain this later on. On the downside here, Chile was impacted by algae bloom in Region 10, and that has resulted in lower volumes, which I will guide on later on. But also, we have been forced to restructure our operation in Chile and try to make that as efficient as possible. On the consumer product side, a fairly good result in the quarter for most factories, but negatively impacted by one factory in Rosyth, which is in Edinburgh, or right side of Edinburgh in Scotland, that lost €7.7 million in this quarter. Quarterly dividend, the board decided that to be paid at 1.7 NOK per share. And I will also come back to that a little bit later on. Just quickly on financials, the top line grew by 10% from 735.3 million euros to 809.5 million euros. Operational EBIT up by 17% from 95.3 million euros to 111.9 million euros. Cash flow from operation was good at €150 million, up from 61.6 in Q1 2015. And the harvest volume this quarter was slightly down from 99,476 tons to 96,613 tons in Q1 16. On page 5, you will see the development of the salmon prices in a period from 2012 to throughout the first quarter of 16, and you will see that prices in Europe and Asia has been at record high levels, and prices in Americas has been increasing, and especially in March following the Chilean algae bloom and lower supply from Chile. Price achievement, contracts, and superior share on page 6 shows the achieved price in the different markets. You will see that Q1 16 in Norway, we achieved 92% of spot price. And the reason for that is that the contracts contribute negatively to the achieved price. The achieved price is a composition of contracts and the quality of the fish here measured in superior share. And the superior share, as you can see, for Norway was 93%, Scotland 92%, so it's mostly the price achievement is mostly reduced because of the contracts. Canada has no contracts, and we are in line with the spot market, even on slightly low superior share at 88%. And Chile, we have 9% contracts, which also contributed negatively, but also the more so here on the quality that was at 87%. If you then go to page 7 and take a look at the bridge between Q1 2015 and Q1 2016, you will see that feed markets, consumer products, and others there more or less were stable, but farming and then because of good prices increased the result with €15.2 million and took it from 95.3 up to 111.9. If you then go to the different operations, we will look at the Norwegian operation on page 8. and you will see that Norway as a region contribute to the biggest part of the result here this quarter with 109.9 million euros compared to 99.1 million euros in Q1 15. This does in spite of a reduction in volume from 65,200 ton to 50 or close to 54,000 ton in the first quarter of 16. As you can see, the result is mainly driven by, or it's solely driven by, price increase. Volume is a negative effect. Feed cost is up because of a slight increase in feed price, but also feed conversion ratio is up. And you will see other saltwater cost, which is mainly treatment cost, is up. And non-saltwater cost is up as well, and that's mostly because of processing cost is up on lower volumes. If you then turn to the contract portfolio, it was high and already stated in the Q1 16 it was at 55%. Q2, the absolute volume is reduced slightly, down to 27,000 ton, but the contract share for Q2 will also be high because of a lower harvest volume than in Q1 in the second quarter of 16. Then we see Q3 drop in contracts, and this is a rolling picture where we do contract basically all the time with major clients. But what the contracts we do today is at a completely different level and will more in line with the forward price for salmon for a year as we speak today. Then we go to page 10 and take a look at the different Norwegian regions and their performance. We see that both region west and region north is north of 2 euro per kilo in margin, and then we see that region mid and region south is between 154 and 156 in margin. All of the regions improving in result, but we have more challenges this quarter in region south due to poorly performing fish, and also in region mid, but here mostly due to low volumes. We closed our processing plant for almost 1 month, so the cost in this region has been high throughout the quarter. We then look and go to the next page. It shows a concept or a new concept in terms of development licenses, and for those of you that's not heard about that, the Norwegian government has put in place an incentive system to come up with new technology and new ways to farm fish. This works in a way that you can apply for licenses. If your project is approved, you will be handed out a set number of licenses, and then you have to fulfill your project obligations and work towards a set project plan. If it succeeds, it's fantastic. Then we have a new efficient way to work for to farm salmon. If you do not succeed, you are able to convert these licenses into normal licenses for a reasonable amount of money. This makes it very interesting to come up with new concepts and at a very low risk financially. We have applied for three systems, and I will start with the first one. The first one is submersible offshore farming cage. The dimensions there are 100 meter long, and the diameter is 24 meter. It is possible to both submerse it and lift it to the surface. And this cage, and the idea behind this cage system, it's a very strong system that will be able to stay in operation below both the sea lice, which is in the top 10 meters or 5 to 10 meters, and below wave action in rough conditions. This system will be worked and we will demonstrate this system together with MarineTech NMBU, which is a Norwegian Institute for Life Sciences, and with their own R&D facility, where we will test this both small scale in tanks on land to to set the stage for the big system, but also to document fish health throughout the project and before we start with the project. The next system is a new system that we will put in place in the northern part of Norway. This is an enclosed system, and you can see the green pipes if you have your presentations ahead of you. That is the inlet or the suction hoses for water that will go through the system. These can be extended and shortened, and we can reach different depths of water by doing it this way. In the donut, it will be set current, which makes the fish swim against the current, and at the right current, you can set the more or less the conditions factor and in fact also improve the quality of the fish. This is an enclosed system. It will take care of sea lice issues and other pathogens, and it is certified for up to 3 meters wave height. So it's mostly to be used in fjords and in protected waters, not ready for open ocean. This is produced in high-density polyethylene, and which is 100% reusable material. The last concept, the egg, I presented at the fourth quarter of 2015. But this, just to sum up, that system is also an enclosed system, a little bit different than the one above. But also in total here, just to state that we have applied for 28 licenses, and we really hope we can get them and get going with new technology in this in the salmon farming world. That's really needed because we need to get back to a growth pattern in the industry. If you then go to page 15 and look at the Scottish result, it has improved from 2.3 million euros in operating EBIT in Q1 2015 to 8.5 in Q1 2016. Higher volumes in this quarter, but negatively impacted by the Ross site operation with negative 0.53 euro cent per kilo. Good prices, high contract share in the quarter, high cost, and high cost is expected also in the second quarter. Then over to page 16 and the Canadian operation. As you can see, very good price achievement and increased pricing. Cost is stable in this operation, and we've harvested from sites at low cost or relatively low cost. Good biological situation. The sites we're going to harvest in the second quarter will be at somewhat higher cost. But we expect the Canadian operation to continue to deliver a good result also in Q2 2016. On page 17, we see the performance of the Chilean unit. This is heavily impacted by the algae bloom that was impacted operation end of February, beginning of March, and had an impact in total of 8.4 million euros. We have initiated a restructuring program of Marine Harvest Chile. We will write down in the second quarter $16 million in fixed assets, and we will also reduce our number of people with close to 500 people, and that has a provision in the second quarter of $3 million. The cost savings by doing this is around between $8 and $10 million dollar per year. Cost will be impacted also going forward with lower volumes, I think we will also see improved prices, and our expectation is to start to make money already from Q3 and the remainder of the year. Still a challenging biology in Chile, obviously with less fish in the water, the pressure is lighter, but on the other hand, there is no fundamental change in regulations or in fish health during this quarter. If you then go to page 18, sums up two of our smaller region, Ireland and Faroe Islands. Ireland had a challenging weather conditions in the quarter, and we in fact lost 2.6 million euros due to a set of biological issues, and part of it weather correlated. In Faroe Islands was different. We made 3.9 million euros, and here we are benefiting from sales to Russia at fairly good prices. But on the downside here, the Faroe government has put in place a revenue-based fee at 4.5%, or that reduced our profit with 4.5% in this quarter. If we then go to consumer products, on page 19, operating revenues up from 270.9 million euros to 327.3 million euros in Q1 2016. Operational EBIT negative or slightly negative, but if we made a correction for the Rosyth plant there, which is 7.7 million euro in the quarter alone, the result is not fantastic, but that it's least positive in what is a weak quarter demand-wise for consumer products. What we see is rather good growth, Germany, Italy, Spain, and also in UK, and the underlying improvements, as I mentioned shortly, we see in many of our operational units in Europe. If we then go to our fish feed operation, our operating revenues ended at 64.5 million euros compared to 45 million euros Q1 2015. The volume is 53,807 tons sold, up from Q1 15, but it's about half the volume we sold in Q4 2016. So typical for the feed business, the first quarter is not when the money are made, and that is comes later on, and especially in Q3 and Q4. We've decided to increase our operation in fish feed by building a new factory in Scotland at a site called Kyleakin on the west coast of Scotland, and in the middle of our farming area and the remaining industries farming area. The location we find good, and it's on the water, so both raw materials and finished products can go out by boats, which is a competitive advantage for marine harvest. We then go to the financials, go briefly on those. The operational revenue I've commented on, the operational EBIT have been through. If you look at the earnings before tax, they were at 164.4 million euros, up from 52.8. Look at the earnings per share, it's up at 0.28 euros per euro cent per share compared to 0.06 in Q1 2015. If we then go to page 23 and look at the financial position for the company, you will see that the balance sheet and the equity ratio here is at 45.9% compared to 51.1% in Q1 at the end of Q1 2015. I don't need to comment more on that. If you look at the cash flow statement on page 24, you will see the that the cash flow is good in the area or in the period, which is normal really. This is the quarter when farming operation, at least on the northern hemisphere, releases cash. If we continue then to cash flow guidance, there's no real change there from previous presentations. The working capital build-up is along the same lines. Capital or capital expenditure at 190 million euros. Long-term NIB target unchanged. Euro 1,050 million. Obviously, the quarterly dividend is new, and I see it says in Q2 2016, well, it will be paid in Q2 2016 for Q1 2016 at 1.70 NOK per kilo. Financing is more or less unchanged. We have good and solid financing in the company. The only thing that's changed there is the conversion price of the convertible bonds. Other than that, everything is equal to what we saw at the end of fourth quarter 2015. We then go into the supply development during the quarter. We see in total there is a growth in supply at 0.2%, which is low. In Norway, the reduction was 6.1%. Then Scotland, Faroe Islands, Ireland grew, and in fact the remaining operation grew, with the exception of others. But small changes in total. If you then look at the development in prices, we've been through partly that, but in Norway, the euro price average Q1 16 was at 6.15. That is a record high price. We see that the US, the Chilean price, both in terms of Unabari D-trim 3-4, it was at 4.30, good weight to compare to the Norwegian price, $4.36. And North America had a price at 2.92, gutter weight 5.82. And you see the corresponding increases in percentage and the prices in Norwegian krona. We then go to the volumes per market, and obviously we are, if you note, it's slightly higher than supply, and we believe that is the release of frozen storage from Chile for the most part. But here the volume is up 3.9%, and if you compare that to the supply, the fish has to come from somewhere, and we believe it comes from frozen storage. We see that EU is down slightly, but stable. Russia is in fact up, and that can fit well with frozen fish coming from Chile. US is up 12.7% on increasing prices, which bodes good for the recovery in the American market. Other Americas up as well. No big change in the big volumes in the other markets, but percentage-wise, because they are low in the first place, you see Japan increasing by almost 30%, but from a rather low volumes, and then South Korea, Taiwan is down somewhat. In terms of the supply outlook on page 30, we'll see that our guidance is a negative supply growth for the quarter for 2016 between -9% and -5%. This is a change from previous guidings, and that's mostly due to the situation in Chile, that where we have a reduction in 2016 between -23% and -19%. For Q2, we believe that the supply will be reduced between -10% and -5%, and then correspondingly for the second half between -12% and -8%. So there will be shortage of salmon in 2016, which obviously will vote for high prices. On the other hand, this is not a situation we would like to continue, because this industry needs to grow, not to be reduced. That's why we think new ways of farming fish, like shown previous in the presentation, is very much needed. Our volume is also down, and we are mostly affected by a reduction in Chile with 16,000 tons. This is on page 31. We're now down to 414,000 tons for the whole of 2016. And you will see there the numbers for 19, 2014, for 20, 2015, and then for 14. And this is not a good development for marine harvest, so we need to come up with new solutions and gradually start increasing production again. Then go to page 32 and the outlook for the coming period. Well, as already stated, we think the market balance will be tight in 2016. We know that future prices are very high and at record level, 5.9 euro per kilo. The demand for our products is very good in Europe and Asia, and improving in the Americas. Algae bloom in Chile will have a major impact on American supply, and we will continue to make our operation in Chile as streamlined and as efficient as absolutely possible. Already stated, but we will apply for a 28 development license in Norway, or we have applied for 28 development license in Norway, and we expect results here as soon as the Norwegian government has gone through the applications and hopefully approved them. Dividend, already mentioned, NOK 1.7 per share. And then if any of you that's listening in would like to come to our Capital Markets Day that will be held in Bjugn, 1st and 2nd of June, you're more than welcome. This is a great opportunity to see the most modern feed factory in the world, alongside with some of the best farming sites that this industry can show at this moment. With that, I would like to open up for question moderator, so maybe you can take over from here.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. And now we have our first question. It comes from Fredrik Iverson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. First, a question on the strong growth in the consumer products. Can you just give some color on what's been driving this in Q1 in contrast to previous quarters?
Yes, it's certainly opening of the factory in Rosyth in Edinburgh that is supplying all the fish to one of the bigger retailers in the UK. We have been able to supply, and we have been able to supply very good products, but the growth has actually been there, but we have not made, unfortunately, a lot of money on it. We actually lost. So that's the major explanation, but it's also increased demand, especially from our Polish operation in Uska, which we expanded and have expanded with another portion factory, 7,500 square meter, so higher capacity there as well. And there is high demand for our products.
Thank you. And on the low feed conversion in Norway in particular, have you seen an improvement here? And also, what do you expect in terms of feed costs towards the second half of the year, given that most input prices have been trending downwards for some time?
Yeah, this is obviously the fish we harvested in Q1 2015. Most of it, at least the Norwegian fish, was put into the ocean in third quarter and fourth quarter of 2014, and has been impacted by the feed price in that period. But it's not only feed price, it is feed conversion rate, and when we talk about economical feed conversion rate, the impact from treatments and mortality during treatment to avoid sea lice has had a high impact on the fish we harvested in this quarter, and that is the explanation for the increased feed cost per kilo.
And have you seen an improvement on the feed conversion ratio in Norway?
In Norway, the feed conversion ratio is, it's hard to talk about feed conversion ratio in Norway. If you look at our 2015 yearly annual report, it's much better than to look at one quarter. But we control our feed. We have our research station. We know that our feed conversion rate on our feed in healthy fish is in fact the best there is, because we benchmark against all the other competitors.
Okay, very clear. And just a quick one on the CapEx levels. I know you're just guiding for 2016 levels, but if you could just give us some more color on how would you think about 2017-18, given all the ongoing R&D projects you were talking about, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, we as you correctly state, we don't guide on 2017 yet, certainly we, and it's hard to come up with good secure numbers on the R&D projects before we get the licenses approved, and that's why I don't want to come with any specific number at this point in time. I will rather wait until I see if the project is approved and then guide at that moment, because else it will be more or less guesswork, and I will have to restate again if we don't get the project approved. So that's why I will not go into to guide on those numbers. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. That's all for me. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll take our next question from Patrick Mortensen from KECH. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. What, in your view, looking at the Chilean supply of oil, what would be the outlook for when that production can recover? I'm not necessarily just talking about your production, but just Chile as a whole. Thanks.
Well, it's a complex question and a good one. It has to do with several issues. First of all, maybe access to capital. We know that the Chilean industry over time has struggled, and certainly there are players with access to capital, but there are also players with less access to capital. So that will have a decisive factor, at least initially. To be honest with you, I hope that the recovery for the first time will be guided by some regulations. We have been talking about change in regulation and new regulations in Chile for a long time. It's not happened yet. So that can also be part of the future growth, or the foundation for the future growth. That's why it's difficult to state exactly when it can be back at high levels. We know that 2016 will be low, and we know that the effect of the algae bloom also will be in 2017. And I will not go in and try to guide on specific volumes 2017 and 2018.
Yeah. And whilst the line is open, as the salmon prices seem to be breaking new highs, do you get a sense that there will be sort of a kink or dent in demand because of sort of price elasticity? There must be a point where consumers are beginning to switch into something else.
Well, it's certainly in all economical theory that is the case, and then the question is, what is that breaking point where you will see that people will switch to other products? And so far we have seen good demand on prices at forward prices, 5.9 euros per kilo going forward for the whole of 2016, and we know that we can do contracts with major retailers at those levels. So at least that is levels that can be that we are able to sell fish at. And then again, I do not have enough data, and I do also, in terms of kind of saying there is a set point, they will be different in different markets, and they will also be impacted by development of new products. It's clear that if you put 4 grams of salmon on top of rice in a sushi construction, the price of the product is less sensitive than if you buy a whole fillet.
And one final question, if I may. Looking at these new technologies, pardon my ignorance, but if these systems are fully closed, would that mean that in principle the sea lice problem could be over forever?
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
There are no further questions.
Okay, thank you very much for participating in the conference call, and we will be back after the second quarter with a new conference call. So have a great afternoon or day if you are in those time zones. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.